Now there was some great consternation among several people during the course of this last week, realizing that the Feast of Epiphany was on Friday. And that's not unusual, because often when the feast happens on a weekday, the church gives us the ability to transfer its observance to the following Sunday. But we have a quirk of the calendar this year where we run out of Sundays. And so this day we celebrate the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord is usually the following Sunday after we have celebrated the Feast of the Epiphany. And so the consternation was that on Christmas night, the Magi popped out of the sacristy door, and they have been steadily making their way. I don't know if you've noticed that, but they've been making their way across the front of the chancel here, and the fear was that they would never get there before we took the manger down. And so we decided that we would keep all the decorations for Christmas up and the manger erected so that they could get there. So they arrived on Friday. But we didn't see them, so we wanted to make sure that we saw that they arrived safe and sound, and so we left it all up. But today is the first Sunday after Epiphany, and today is the day that we celebrate the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. Now, this particular event in the Scriptures has caused no great deal of consternation. Or I shouldn't say it has not. It's a double negative. It has caused a lot of consternation. That's what I'm trying to say. And even in the Gospel of Matthew, you hear the Gospel writer dealing with that as you hear him put into the words of John the Baptist. As Jesus comes to him to be baptized, John says, "But you're coming to me to be baptized? I should be coming to you." Because you see, the church, from its earliest days, has dealt and struggled with this notion of baptism as a washing away of sin. And so it actually is that. I mean, we talk about that and we believe that. Because you see, as we recall, when we talked in detail about John the Baptist during our Advent time, we recalled how the baptism of John was a baptism of repentance. It was if you recall, a turning. The word was metanoia, a turning away, a 180-degree shift in our way of thinking, away from the ways of the world and the ways of the values of the world, the ways of sin and evil, toward the ways of God and righteousness. And so, well, that is, in fact, the baptism of John. And so it makes little sense to us, as it did to those first disciples who wrote down these words. Why would Jesus need to be baptized? Was Jesus in need of repentance? We believe Jesus, after all, after the life and death of Jesus and the resurrection from the dead, we acclaim Jesus as the sinless one. And so all of a sudden, why Jesus would need to be baptized becomes an intellectual controversy for us. We can't quite fit it all in. Until we begin to understand the place that this holds in the gospel text itself. Taken by itself, yes, it causes all of these controversies in our mind and our struggles, our theological struggles about who Jesus is and how Jesus came to be and what Jesus did and all of that. Until we begin to see that this is placed at the very beginning of Jesus' public, what we call Jesus' public life. Jesus' mission and ministry in the world in a way where he is calling attention to himself as the one who came to proclaim the kingdom of God among us. And so this baptism isn't so much about the forgiveness of sin and the washing away of sinfulness or even a baptism of repentance, but rather it's about beginnings, new beginnings. And in point of fact, if we were to have a baptism today, as we often do when we have someone who is a candidate for baptism, we would hear that language again, that it is a beginning of new life. Whether it is a tiny baby or someone who has come to faith, it is a baptism of repentance, true. It's turning away from sin and evil and all of those things. We renounce all that stuff, but it is more. It is much more. It is like a great portal, a great doorway, where we walk through it and we come into a new realm, a new way of living. That's what baptism is about. That was the baptism that Jesus undertook with John. Because it is here at the very beginning of the story. Notice we're still got Christmas decorations up and things, but Jesus isn't a baby anymore. He grew up very fast. Now he's a full-grown adult, and actually, according to our tradition, something like 30 years have passed. And the formation that he had in his home and in the synagogue has now come to full flower as he undertakes his mission and his ministry in the world. But first, he says to John, I need to be baptized. This is for us in the church the sign of beginnings. So you see, when we're baptized, it isn't about simply ending something. It isn't simply about turning away from sin and ending an old way of life or an old pattern. It is truly about beginnings, and that's one way we justify baptizing infants. After all, they're no more guilty of sin than the sinless one, Jesus. But in point of fact, baptism for us as disciples of Christ is about new beginnings. It is very much about water. Oh, the waters of the Jordan, to be sure, are the waters we use at the font. But where else do we see waters at the beginning but in new birth? When someone's water breaks, it's panic time. It's time to call the doctor, call the ambulance, get to the hospital, whatever it happens to be, call the midwife, as they would say, if you're on public television. It is, in fact, that presence of that water and the flow of water that heralds the beginning of new life, or the potential of new life. And in fact, is for us, we begin to realize that The church, brothers and sisters, is the womb in which we grow until we are born in baptism into the world. The church is the place where we gestate. It is the place where we are knit together. It is the place where we learn the rudiments of faith. It is the place where we gain in hope. It is the place where we learn a life of grace. It is the place where we learn how to be human beings, redeemed and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, so that we emerge from this place and go out of these doors, and like a babe coming forth from the womb, we go out into the world, bathe in the waters of baptism. It is here that we learn what we need to know so that we can go in the world and do what Jesus came to do. It is here where we learn the ways of faith. It is here where we learn how to love utterly and simply. It is here how we learn to respect the dignity of each and every human being, how to find the face of Christ in every human being we encounter, all those things about our baptism, so that when we leave the doors of this place, it is like being born again each and every time we walk through them. So that we take these things into the world and slowly, progressively, inch by inch by inch, we proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God just like Jesus did, and inch by inch, bit by bit, we begin to see the world transform. Not because God is doing something out there, but because God has sanctified us by the Holy Spirit, because God has saved us in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, that we are able to take that and go out into the world and do the very thing Jesus came to do. This is about beginnings. But it is not about simply a retelling of the beginning of the life and ministry of Jesus. It is about our life and about our ministry. And how we are called to change our world. Oh, it'd be a lot easier if we just prayed a lot. It'd be a lot easier if we just gathered, we hunkered down in here and we prayed and prayed and prayed that God would come down from heaven and smite all the evildoers. And that God would destroy all the sinners. I'm afraid if he did that, there'd be few of us left. That's the reality, because the story of Genesis, all the way back into the beginning of time, of Adam and Eve, is that all of humanity falls short of the glory of God. Not one of us is worthy on our own. But rather, because of God's immense love for the world that he created, his immense love for us as human beings, he has sent in this latter age, we say in our prayers, Jesus among us, to show us the way, to tell us of God's great love, a message that had been there from the very beginning and had been told to them through the law and through the prophets. Jesus came and showed us by living it, and ultimately by dying for it, and then being raised up, that we might have this great hope. This baptism of Jesus is not about repentance. It's not about the forgiveness of sins. No, it's about new beginnings. But it's a new beginning that we share in day after day after day, not only when we are baptized, but each and every time we profess that creed that we first professed at our baptism. When we say, I believe, we are saying what Jesus is saying, let this be done so that all righteousness may be served. But what is that righteousness except living in a covenant relationship with God? Living in right relationship with God, that's what righteousness is about. And so that's what we are called to do. To live in a covenant with God and with one another in such a way that the world begins to see that something is different because of what God has done in, with, and through us. That we are the very presence of this Jesus in the world. We do not come here to get. We come here so that we may be fitted to give. To give our life to the world as Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus did it that same way. One story, one healing, one word, one person at a time. As the Son of God, perhaps we think he could just have issued an edict and all the world would have come to adore him as Son of God, but it didn't work that way. That's not the way he did it. And in fact, Jesus couldn't do it all by himself. He gathered to himself disciples. And he commanded those disciples to gather other disciples so that year after year, month after month, millennia after millennia, others would come to know this great love of God through him. Because of the pattern of our lives. Because we are made one with Jesus. We are Christ in the world. We are the light we seek so deeply in our own hearts. That is why the Magi made their journey from the sacristy door all the way over to the creche, where they sought the light. And we kept them there because we wanted you to see that, in fact, the light is to be found. It is found in Christ Jesus. And it is ours to find. If we might be wise, if we might be righteous, then we need to see this feast, this day we celebrate, this baptism of the Lord, as a commission for our own mission and ministry, very much like it was for Jesus. One word, one moment, one day, one person at a time. We must work in the Spirit of God to make the world new. That is the good work we have been given. Luther said, salvation is not attained by works. I agree. We don't work out our salvation. We don't obtain our salvation. We work it out. Like you work out a math problem. You get to the solution. You get to the answer that exists by doing the work. If we would find our salvation and eternal life, then you and I must be busy about the work of Jesus. We must be busy about making the kingdom real. We must be busy about transforming our world so that all nations come to know and understand the love of our God. That is the message of the Torah. That is the message of the prophets. That is the commission Jesus has given as the Spirit lights upon him as a dove. And you were marked with a cross with holy oil, saying you have been marked out as Christ's own. You, my friends, are now baptized. You are coming out of the Jordan. You will leave the womb of the church simply to go and give witness to what God has done among us. So, yes, we miss the Feast of the Epiphany, but we see its result. We see its consequence. The light to the nations has appeared, a light that we all can see. Carry that light in your heart as we leave this place. Come back, see it again, carry it out again in a constant conversation with our world. For it is only then that they will come to know the deep love of our God.